I think so.
I will call.
If the light's on, you're good.
What's that? Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right, we're going to call the meeting to order. As you can see, we're a little short tonight. We had a couple of people traveling with business. We had an illness and some other things going on, but we do have a quorum here, so we'll move forward with our meeting. Mr. Buck will lead us in a moment of silence and pledge to the flag, if you would stand.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, did we have any modifications to the agenda this evening? I have one if nobody else does. I'm going to ask that we remove the minutes from the consent agenda and put them down under action item. There's just a couple of points of clarification that I think we should make from the last meeting, just so everybody understands that. So that'll go under action item under number 7. So any other changes or additions to the consent agenda or to the agenda for this evening? All right. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
And a second. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda for this evening is approved. Okay, then we have the Student of the Month presentation, and I guess Dr. Hollister will be handling that tonight.
Yeah, I'll take that one. Both students naturally are busy doing other things, but I did want to publicly announce their names. I'll do that now, and then we'll make sure that they get down to the district office for a visit, and we'll properly congratulate them there. The student of the month for the female position is Hadassah Hoover, student of the month, and the character trait this month is selflessness, Hadassah Hoover. And for the male, it's Jordan Tennis, again, certificate for selflessness. Two great choices. I know both these students, and they have actually absolutely committed themselves to making our environment here a better place for all kids. So congratulations to those two students and their families. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think a round of applause, even if they're not here.
Absolutely.
I think it's in order, so. All right, thank you for that. We have time for citizens' comments. We did have some people who had signed in and asked to speak this evening, and I will read the first person and then the next person so they can be ready to come up. And again, we asked you, keep it to 5 minutes and that you just address the board, not the crowd. So Daryl Martin, if you would take the microphone, and then Jonathan Spongenberg would be next.
Good evening. I want to thank you for giving me a moment. I want to thank you for your service, the board, and all the sacrifices you guys make and the time you give to this community. The decisions you are making here are very important, and they mold our students for the future. So thank you. If I may, I'd like to take a moment to pray for you. Lord, thank you for this board, for our administrators, our teachers, and our students. Thank you that thank you for them because they are a gift. Lord, we pray specifically for this board. We ask that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them wisdom as they make decisions, as they develop strategies, as they provide answers for very difficult questions at times. Lord, we ask for the wisdom that would only come from you. Lord, I also ask that you would protect them, protect their families, that you would strengthen them for the task at hand, that you would cover their hearts and their minds with your peace. And we thank you that this peace comes through your Son, Jesus. I pray that the board would not only be the recipients of your peace, but also would be instruments of your peace. I ask that everything that is said and done in this place would be edifying to each of us and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Jonathan Spongenberg, and then Hope Durante.
board.
Good evening.
Thank you again, everybody, for what you've done and what you're doing. What I wanted to say was all of you are officials and politicians elected by the community to create policy and make decisions that are the best for our children. And we encourage you and we stand with you. Because of the confusion, we urge you to add a line to the addendum that states, until the facilities are renovated, students must change in the facilities of their biological sex, and then you can enforce it on June 30th after a second reading. You have already voted on and passed it, so please hold strong to your word and enforce it. I was disappointed by the fact that the locks were not already changed. If needed, we as a community can call a local locksmith and have the locks changed by the end of this week. So please do not delay the implementation of the already approved policy. In the last school board meeting, Ronnie Jones inferred that the policy regarding separation of the sex was based on feeling, but I don't believe that's true. We seek to maintain the separation of the sexes because it is objective, observable, and enforceable line by which to guard our students' privacy. Ironically, those who seek to allow people who are transitioning to use the bathroom of their choice are doing so based solely on feelings. A person begins to transition based on the way they feel about their own body. They feel that their body does not match up with the way that they identify themselves. How can these feelings be measured objectively? They simply cannot. It was also disturbing that Superintendent Hollister stated that he would not be willing to enforce the policy as set forth due to his personal understanding of the law. There is a tremendous amount of time and effort being put into this policy, and I would personally like some assurance that this superintendent will abide by it once it's passed. I fully understand that there are many belief systems that wish to be heard in this community. I do not believe we have the right to silence any of them by force. However, I also believe it's very important not to force one's belief system upon another. This is really a simple case that's being framed in a complex and confusing manner. Biological sex separation is not a form of negative discrimination. It does not pick on anyone in particular. No one is told that they are different and therefore rejected. The transgender belief supporters would likely stop me here, but they would claim they are being discriminated against because they are not allowed to use the bathroom of their choice. The truth is that no one has this choice, and no one should have this choice. What we are protecting here is the dignity and privacy of both sexes. I initially was completely against the renovations that would privatize bathrooms. However, after listening to many valid concerns, I believe that is a wise choice. This will result in the most protection from sexual harassment and afford the most bodily privacy. No student would feel singled out as all are afforded the same opportunities. Lastly, I would strongly recommend that we deeply consider what we are endorsing in this policy or lack thereof. Gender dysphoria is a condition in which an individual does not accept his or her own body. That individual needs to be loved and they needs to be cared for. To affirm that person is not to tell them that they are right in rejecting their own body. It is not to ensure them that if they change the outside of the body, everything will be better on the inside. Proper and true affirmation is to tell that person that they are valuable and that they are loved just as they are, that they are not a mistake, and that their life has meaning and their life has purpose. I would say to any trans individual, I see you. You are valuable. You are significant. There is no one else like you, and God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to bring you life and deliver you. I do not condemn you. I am in just as much need of Christ and his love as you are. I do affirm you. Thank you.
Okay. Hope Durante and then Dave Horse.
I got shorter. Okay. I've learned a great deal these past few months attending these school board meetings and advocating for the rights of a child who is like a son to me. Last week, I heard two very powerful things I'm grateful for. The first being the fact that Sean, which I will call him, which is not his name, will not be reprimanded for using his identified bathroom. And the second, hearing the list recited of all the ways this board can't or why it shouldn't violate discrimination laws. I'm a registered nurse specializing in cardiology and trauma. I have always heard, I couldn't do what you do from others, and responded, of course you could. These meetings have proven me wrong. I've had the opportunity to connect biased and discriminatory words to faces. I was screamed at during my first meeting by a grown man who coached my kids. As a nurse, I don't have the luxury of discriminating. I'll treat our CEO with the same care I offer the homeless addict. In my opinion, you shouldn't be allowed to be an educator, coach, or adult leader in a public system of education just as this would never be acceptable in my profession. Sean didn't ask for special rights. He asked for equal rights. Sean didn't ask for a $1 million building revamp. It was gifted to placate the others, yet he was still blamed for it. Sean didn't ask to be harassed or be in the papers, yet he was. Sean's parents don't want money or the heartache no parent should have to feel. Calling him she, referencing Satan, deciding majority conquers all. Not when bigotry is your sounding board, covered by the pages of a Bible which also declares only God can judge. I hope the board continues to move in the right direction. And to Sean's mom, you are one amazing and courageous human being, and I'm honored to call you friend.
Okay. Dave Horst and then Brian Hauer.
Good evening, board. I was planning on not speaking this week, but last week there was a couple comments made that kind of confused me, and I kind of feel silly standing here saying what I'm going to say. But we are a representative republic, and when our politicians are elected or school board members are elected or like us in East Earl, in the recent years, we have replaced all three of our supervisors because they had a different agenda for the township than we, the citizens, had. And so we got rid of them. School board's the same way. We're a representative republic. We elect you. The majority of the people elect you to do our bidding, to represent us to the school. If we ask you to do something illegal, then I expect that you would put us in our place and explain that. But there was something made mentioned last week that they were surprised that a couple people were not reinstated as by the Republican Party. But to get voted back in, you have to do what the majority wants or you get unelected. I was surprised that that wasn't understood, but that's the way it is in the United States. We don't have to take up arms. Our founding fathers gave us the opportunity to vote, and we use it. But I do appreciate what you guys are doing. Tough job. You're good people. I do appreciate what you're doing. Thanks.
Thank you. Brian Hauer, and then Amanda, and I apologize if I mispronounce it, Bajako, I'm not sure.
Hello, I'm Brian Hauer, and good evening, board. And again, I appreciate all that you do and the service that you put in. I know that there was a lot of pressure for you to vote a certain way and to stay with what many feel is the only way. I'm glad that calmer heads prevailed and slowed down the process to give our district the time needed to continue to create a policy and facilities that will make us be a place for all students to be respected and to have the privacy they deserve and to create the facilities that will be an example to other communities that we can work through differences and create something good for all. We can be proud of that. I especially want to thank the six that voted to move this till fall to give us more time so we don't create more unfair burden financially on the district with a lawsuit and lining the pockets of lawyers rather than putting it in our students. Thank you, Tom Wetzel. And if I have, I think I got everyone's names that voted this way. Paul Irvin, Dean Amayo. And I also want to thank, I know she's not here and I wish she was, Melissa Redmond for her statement. And I'm sorry that she won't be continuing on the board because she listened and wanted to do her best and make the decisions consciously of what was best. And that took a lot of courage for her to read that statement. I also thank Jonathan Dahl, who's not here either, for seeing the importance of taking time, slowing things down, and making sure we have the right, you know, things right while not the most popular choice for the community. He knew it was the best choice for us to get it right. So that gives us time with the bathrooms and so forth. Finally, Mr. Jones, who's not here either, I know he really put his head out there to share his perspective last week. I know that's a tough thing to do, and I appreciate his honesty and commitment to trying to do what is best for the community. True leaders, while there is pressure sometimes on them, that have to take the road, but a lot of pressure on them. Sometimes they have to take the road less traveled, which some did last week, and for what is best at the end of the road. Okay, so they showed both of them showed that last week, and I appreciate that. That's tough. So, Elanco community, like I said last week, I respect and appreciate all of you and your faith and your love for this community and the passion you have on this issue. And I hope, as I talk to the gentleman tonight, that we continue this passion on every issue that affects this board. We can go on to the three I talked about, opioid, poverty, and the charter funding. That's just three. There's many. And so remember, together we can get this done and have a policy and facilities that could be good for all of us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And then Amanda.
Good evening. Last week, I was very disheartened in several of the board members' decisions to delay enacting the addendum. This addendum was the second time this was delayed, and it's unacceptable. Each and every day this is delayed, it's violating the privacy of our children. There should be separate facilities based on biological sex that also provides privacy. On the April 8th meeting, each board member, including Rodney Jones, voted yes to the addendum. I see no reason the addendum cannot be enforced immediately, even if the policy needs to be finalized. It's my understanding you do not need the policy until the renovations are complete. So I ask that you simply add wording that would state something to the effect that students must change in facilities of their biological sex on and off school properties until the renovations render such separation through private facilities. I also ask that Dr. Hollister enforce this policy that is approved by the board or be removed as superintendent. This issue has dragged on for months, and the citizens of the community need an answer. I currently have two kids enrolled in the district, and next year I would have three. This issue will be a big deciding factor of where my kids will attend school. I need an answer before next school year so I can make a decision on where my kids will attend school. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I think that was everyone that had signed up. So we have the consent agenda in front of us right now. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
A second. Any other discussion? I just want to point out that we're reappointing Mr. Wenzel as treasurer, and I think I try to mention this each year, but I do appreciate his willingness to serve, and if you remember, how many years has it been, Tom? I know I put you on the spot here again, but it's...
I think it's 15 or 16.
15 or 16 years, so his dedication and to that is commendable, and we really do appreciate it.
Mr. Yoder?
Yes.
We also have a change in the personnel movement of somebody, and we'd like to talk about that before
we would
vote.
Yes, absolutely. That's great. Then we
so,
had record of it.
I want to introduce a change in Breckmark staff. Amanda Nelson, who is here tonight, has been a teacher in the district for over 6 years. She's taught kindergarten for us and then moved and taught fourth grade and taught first grade and second grade. But she was our top candidate to be Brooke Knox librarian, media specialist. Comes with a great vision for where we're going with these services, not only in our at Brecknock, but also across our elementary building. So we're very excited to have her take on this new role in the district for us.
All right, very good. Welcome aboard, as soon as we vote here, that is. Yeah. Not aboard, you've been with us, but as a new position. So, any other comments or questions? All right, then we will vote on the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. The agenda has passed. So in the minutes, I don't know if, can we bring them up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we bring those up, Jeff. The Board of Committee, the whole meeting minutes. If we scroll down to towards the bottom there. Under...
Discussion.
What's that? Oh,
Jeff, it's in the board agenda.
Oh, in the board agenda. Yeah, the board. No, it'd be the committee. The whole agenda, right?
No, we have to approve it tonight, so it's on this agenda.
Oh, it's on this agenda. Yeah, but there's two. There were two in there, I think, I saw.
Board agenda, and go down. I moved it because he asked to separate it, so I moved it down to the action items.
Oh, okay. You moved it there. It's not moved in mine. Okay, I see. I'm with you now. Yep. Under approval of minutes, under 8. Yep. And then it is committee of the whole meeting. Yeah. And if you scroll down to number 9, it'd be page 8 of 9. So Mr. Jones had made a motion to discuss revisiting and removing the addendum from the board policy. And he's not here tonight, but we discussed it with myself and Mr. Johnson and Dr. Hollister. We went back and listened to the recording. Tom, it was your understanding that the motion was just to open it up for discussion.
That's correct. That correct? We ought to have discussion on
it. So that was just to open up for discussion, but then the action that we took was to delay the implementation, and that's the other matter then, I guess, because the delay the implementation until the start of the next school year, there was some ambiguity on that. I think the intention was that it would be first student day of next year. Do any board members think that? Should we we have a motion, I guess, to amend it to that? Is there a motion? Just to amend it to state the first student day of 2019-20.
I move that the policy take effect the first student day of the 2019-2020 school year.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Second. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? Okay. That is amended. And then I think we need to, that was for the amendment, we need to take a vote on the approving the minutes as amended. So is there a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
So moved.
Okay. And a second?
Second.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no? There we go. The minutes are approved. Okay, now back to this meeting. So we have the reports then. Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, we did not have any meeting this month. Therefore, our next meeting will be June 12th.
Okay, thank you. Lancaster Lebanon IU 13, Mr. Irvin.
The Lancaster Lebanon IU board met on May 15th. We approved a payment of $7,900,000 in invoices. We approved one business service contract, 8 additions to existing contracts, and 5 more contracts from Patan, which is the Harrisburg division of the IU 13. So a total of 14 contracts under business services. We approved 10 new or additions to existing contracts under early childhood and special education services. We approved 8 new or additions to contracts under instructional services, technology services. We approved 3 new HR human resource services contracts. We approved the personnel actions of 16 resignation of employees, 1 termination of an employee, 6 retirements of employees, 23 new hires, 19 change of position or salary, 6 leave of absences, and we received a report from the nominating committee for our selection of officers for the 2019-2020 board meeting calendar. I have given the administrators and each board member a copy of the Helping Districts Help Students. If anyone has any questions on my report or the information I've handed out, I will be glad to answer that or get you an answer in the next couple days.
Okay. Any questions? I have a couple of things. So on that, helping districts help students, I just struck me here. There's a lot of really like interesting conferences. It looks like Elanco is taking part in almost all of them, which is encouraging. It's great. There's things like Google Summit, so collaborative event, IU13 programs, parent conference.
District HR conference.
District HR, physics, building blocks. So, yeah, that's great. I commend the administration for having us take part in all of those. On this ballot then, Paul, we have... is this in everyone's packet, or do we have to vote individually?
You have to vote individually on that.
Yes. Do we have to vote as a board, not as a board on this item, just individually?
Individually.
Okay. Yes. I know some things that we vote, like we have to do both. So we need to have those, have your vote and have those turned in. Deadline for receipt is June 7th, so we should, each board member needs to do that. Any other questions or comments on the IU13? Okay, thanks for that. Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redmond is not able to be here this evening due to another I guess, conflict. And then legislative, Mr. Wenzel.
The discussion over charter school bills continues at up in Harrisburg. There are a couple, four bills that have come out of committees, 356 and 357, which PSBA opposes, and 355 and 358, which PSBA supports. I don't know whether Bob or Keith or somebody has any comment on those bills, how they might affect our district if they get so far.
Well, certainly the charter school bills are ones we're watching. Despite the fact that we launched our own virtual academy about 6 or 7 years ago, our cyber charter school costs are, you know, they hover around $1 million, $900,000 a year. And that's money running out of the district. That's our dollars, that's your dollars that go to those students. When they advertise that charter schools are free, they are not free. They're free to the parents, but not the school districts. And as we've said many times, there's no rhyme or reason to how school districts are charged for those. Every school district is charged a different amount of money by the cyber charter school based on the cost that it takes to educate students. So to the one bill has the cost being a set fixed cost that would be much more, although not exactly correct, or not what we pay, but much closer to the actual cost, which would be a good move. So we're very supportive of some of the charter school conversations. And then I should add that the cyber charter schools are the worst as a group performing schools in the Commonwealth. Cyber charter schools in general, we've talked about this, it's a bad policy. It's a bad policy by the Commonwealth. It's costing a lot of money and yielding very little academic success for kids.
Okay. And of course, tomorrow's election day. It's in what we call an off-year election. Traditionally, one of the lower turnouts for this type of race, but you have a lot of crucial races going on in the local community. You have, obviously, school directors. You have borough and township officials, local judges, some county offices, and some state judges. So it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, but please... find the time to get out to the polls. That concludes my report.
Thank you. I think what, 7:30?
Seven to eight.
So yes. You have a big window of time there to get out. Thank you for that. Any questions or comments on legislative matters? Yes.
The charter schools are so well funded; they have a lot of cash that they freely spend to enhance their position, and they cross party lines. It doesn't matter, independent, Republican, Democrat, socialist, if they think that they need that vote in that area, they will pour enough money in there that very few legislators can say no. So I would, if you just get a chance and think about it, please let your legislator know that we cannot have charter schools doing what they're doing to our students, if they would teach as good as the public schools do, it would be hard to argue with them. But again, I'll go back and say that if you want to join the Marine Corps and you go to the Marine Corps with a charter cyber school diploma, they'll say, I'm sorry, we can't take you. So,
all right.
That's what I have to say.
Yep. Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments? All right. Superintendent's report, Dr. Hollister.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. I have a whole lot of items, and it's all good stuff. It's the end of the year, so a lot of things are coming to fruition. We'll go with the big picture and work our way down to the things that matter the most, the students. At the big picture, I want to just talk a little bit briefly about the major launch that we had to our MASS customized learning initiatives. That was 2 weeks ago on a Thursday evening, all day Friday, and Saturday morning. We had a facilitator come in to have those discussions, and Dr. Larkin and her team put together an agenda that really produced a lot of work in those hours. And I think the people who participated really got a lot out of it themselves. We selected people from sort of across the whole community. I apologize, not everyone could be here. We had about 80 people here, businesses, specifically businesses, parents, community members, teachers, administrators. Mr. Yoder was here, Mr. Jones was here, Mrs. Redmond was here, so three board members were able to attend the whole time. Basically recasting a vision for the school district, recasting vision and value statements for the school district. And it was really great conversations. A few members of the audience were there as well. And really, it was awesome to see the interaction between the different groups, how the different lenses and perspectives sort of came together, and the facilitator did an incredible job. If you ever try to get a few people to wordsmith a document and there's more than six, you have trouble. And she really did it with close to 80 folks. And so that's the kickoff to what we hope to be is a more personalized learning situation going forward for our students, where we're credentialing them along the way. We're plugging them directly into the business and industrial world for those students who aren't college bound, that we're actually creating career ladders for them while they're here in high school, starting to build that ladder here for those students to family flourishing careers, not just sort of this family sustaining wage. I don't like that phrase. It's used a lot, but I really like the idea of family flourishing career ladders, and that's what we're working on. And again, we started that off. It was an incredible conversation. We were all exhausted, I think, mentally after the 3 days, but also felt pretty fulfilled and rewarded from what we produced. So more to come. Obviously, it's not going to all be implemented on day one. It really is a 5 to 10 year implementation plan for that, because it's a revolutionary look at how we take care of our learners. So there was good news. And certainly, Glenn, if you want to pipe in, I don't put you on the spot, but you were there and stuck around for the whole time. So if you want to make a comment, that's great. If not, we'll move on.
Yeah, I did. I was going to say, I wanted to thank the administration for putting together, and Mr. Justin, I'm sure, had a big part in all the planning of it. Had his touches all over it. But I've been involved in some like long range planning things before, and it was not that many people. So to steer that many people, and when I looked at what we were going to start out with, where we ended up, the facilitator was very impressive. She did a great job of doing that. So. I think really thank everyone who participated, and looking forward to the implementation.
Yep, a lot of work to do now. The work's just begun.
We left some homework for the.
There's a little bit. a lot of posted sheets got. How many posted sheets do we have?
A lot. I don't know. All around the room.
Maybe 80, maybe 100. So we'll pull all that together. But as Mr. Yoder said, it's not sort of your daddy's strategic plan like the way you used to do it. It was really comprehensive, and it was really just step one. So very exciting for the district to be in a position where we can look forward like that and really take our time to plan something pretty exciting for our learners. The next thing was, interestingly enough, we actually mentioned this as counterintuitive, but the district did well in the U.S. News and World Report rankings recently. We were ranked 7th in the county, 8th in the IU of the 22 school districts, 120th out of about 950 high schools in the Commonwealth. Given our poverty level, that is really an achievement by our kids and our faculty members, administrative team. Poverty really rules that particular report. The higher the poverty, the lower you get in that score, and that's a commonly accepted understanding. So despite our poverty rate of about 44% here in the district, our school district did very well, especially considering our kindergarten readiness scores that are some of the lowest in the county. Our kids coming into kindergarten are least ready. So our teachers are working really hard. So I wanted to publicly thank our teachers for the work that they're doing and our community and of course, the students who work so hard in our hallways. So some good news there from the U.S. News and World Report rankings. I say counterintuitive because I do think in some ways the U.S. ranking is an old measure for schools. I think schools need to do a whole lot more than just math and reading. And count attendance. There are some things that we do that I think aren't measured in this particular report and that we do them well. Our special education program, for example, is not taken into account in any way in this report, really. So some good news for the district there. Second item I have, folks, you'll start seeing soon some banners going up throughout the community. If you recall, several years ago, Allison Cuthy did a major project where she had folks who served in the military, families bought banners and decorated our streets here with the banners. Allison came up, she approached me earlier this year and suggested that we try to highlight some student work here from the district. And all credit to Allison Cuthy. She is dogged when she wants to do something. Anyway, any of you know her, know that's to be true. And she pressed this project and we will have about 100 pieces of students' artwork photographed and then placed on banners throughout the community to enhance our community here in the next couple of months. Again, I take no credit for this. Allison came, pitched the idea. I said, go do it, and she did it. Our teachers obviously had a lot to do with selecting the artwork and getting it ready for photographs for the banners, but compliments to Allison and a thank you to her. She is working in conjunction with the library. One of the requirements is that a charitable organization had to be affiliated with it. So, again, Allison just found ways to hop the hurdles and make it work. So thank you to her, and of course, thanks to the art teachers. Walking in, many of you saw, hopefully you stopped to take a look. Our learners are producing unbelievable stuff, really amazing. I look at some of that and go, there's no way. Teacher did that for them, and they did. They did. I mean, the kids really do well here. We really are supportive of our arts across the board. So compliments to those folks. The next thing I had, we had a presentation here that was a partnership between Penn Medicine, Compass Mark, and CrossNet Ministries, basically talking about the opioid epidemic. I say unfortunately because there were about 20 people in the room for this presentation that occurred a couple of weeks ago. And if folks weren't affiliated with the school district, CrossNet, or the presentation, really we only had about 3 people who attended from the community, which was unfortunate because I do think that this opioid epidemic is real. It's real here. I've mentioned this before. Often we want to talk about the students who are using drugs, and it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem for the school district because parents are using drugs, both parents in some cases. Kids are going home to homes where both parents have addictions that they're dealing with, which makes it very difficult for the student to be successful in school. So going forward, we'll continue to try and generate interest in these kinds of things because I do think it is a community issue here. Well, throughout the whole school district. But I did want to note that CrossNet, again, our partner, in so many ways, did an amazing job trying to pull this together, advertising it, working with Penn Medicine and Compass Mark. Next thing I have, we're working our way down through the list here. Congratulations to Lynn Stover. Lynn Stover is a music teacher here in the district. Lynn was recognized as one of the teacher Impact Award winners for the year, sponsored by Franklin and Marshall College and WITF Radio. So Lynn was invited and will attend a banquet. I will accompany him to Harrisburg in a few weeks to receive that award. There were only about 8 total winners from the region. Region consists of several counties from the WITF listening area. So congratulations to Lynn. Lynn does a great job on our music program. Really creative. Kids really enjoy his class at the middle school. Any questions so far? I'm just going to keep rolling along here. Okay. Next thing I have, congratulations again. More students helping beautify the community through Mr. Kurt McCaskey's connections to the New Holland Business Association, and of course our ag students, 18 students from Garden Spot High School, assisted in the planting of the planters that are out on the main street, all up and down the main street. So Garden Spot and the elementary schools are going to be well represented here in a few weeks once we have our art banners up as well as the planters. The kids worked in conjunction with a number of other people. They didn't do that themselves. Keystone Auto had a big hand in this as well, so I shouldn't imply that we did it all ourselves, but our kids definitely did got their hands dirty, so to speak, quite literally. So congratulations and thank you for some great Garden Spot students. Who did some community service for us. Moving along, I'm going to pass this particular paper around. There's a picture on the back that I'd love for you guys to see. I just wanted to note that some students in one of our special classes earned some certificates. 5 students earned their National Career Readiness Certificate today. This was not today, this was earlier. I'm reading from an email. This means that these students will have the opportunity to increase their employability skills through other short-term certification programs. Micro-credentialing and badging is something that we're very excited about. This is all funded by a business and education partnership grant through the county. So congratulations to Christopher Fitzmaurice, Steven Stoltzfus, Wesley Kennedy, Ashley Lapp, and Madison Shelley. And I'll pass this across to the board so you can see who they are. Back to art. Once again, one of our students, we just continue to run with this. It's a rare year where one of our students' art pieces is not hung in the Congressional Hall in Washington. So I'm pleased to announce that 2 Garden Spot students earned awards at the annual Congressional Art Show. Kristen Burkholder won a runner-up for her acrylic painting, and Alan Perez took first place in his watercolor painting, and will have that work displayed in the Cannon Tunnel in the nation's capital for the next year. Very exciting. We, again, the arts here are well represented in the things at place, the competitions and where they get to show their wares. This picture is unbelievable. This is a watercolor. If you know anything about watercolor, in my opinion, is one of the hardest mediums because you don't get to do a do-over. You get to tear up and you got to start over every time it doesn't work out. I know you guys can't see this, but I'm going to send it down past the board. Incredible, incredible picture done in watercolor. So congratulations to those students. And then I think finally, the last note that I have is recognition for some students at New Holland Elementary School. They placed first, second, and third in a competition held for media and design at the IU. For those of you who've been around a while, this is the former PA Computer Fair. They've updated it to call it the PA Media and Design Competition for grades 6 and up. So we had a sixth grade class at New Holland participate, and I will give you those finishers. Abby Commander and Sophia Espenshade won a third place in digital movie. Jewel Kurtz and Haley Reich and Libby Kaufman won second place in their digital movie. And first place for 3D printing was Luke Hodge and Abba Kulkarni, 3D printing. And first place for Digital Movie was Evan Buck, Gavin Andrews, and Kristen Smucker. Congratulations to all those students and to their advisor teacher, advisor slash teacher, Diana Haynes, sixth grade teacher at New Holland Elementary School. So I think that concludes my reports. One of these times of the year where everything's coming to fruition. It's really exciting. And a whole lot more to come. We had a concert last week. We've got banquets this week, an award ceremony tomorrow evening for seniors, FFA banquet Thursday, and a lot of other good things still to happen before graduation. That concludes my report. The only thing I have in terms of announcements is board members are reminded to make sure you speak with Mr. Johnson regarding graduation, so we have seats for you. If anyone would like to attend any of the senior activities, senior awards is tomorrow evening. Baccalaureate is Sunday, I believe, the 2nd of June, that week of graduation is baccalaureate, and I believe that will be here. If there are any questions, I will take them now. If not, I will conclude my report.
Questions? I do have one. Do they have the dates of when that artwork hangs in the Cannon building, or?
I do not have that.
I was in that building last week, but I don't know. I'm disappointed if I missed it, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I can try and find out for you.
Okay, yeah, I just would be curious because I'd love to see that sometime. All right, anyone else? Any other announcements? Graduation, of course, Dr. Hollister said, is June 7th. It's always a highlight of the year. So any board members that can make it, that would be...
It's Mr. Yoder's final graduation, everyone. This is officially the last. He's had to do it 10 times, and he still hasn't gotten it right. So
yeah,
this is it.
This is the one. We're going to get them all right this time. All right, any other announcements? All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned.